This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. In Paper Hand Puppet Intervention's new show, a little boy volunteers to rescue a witch's heart from the beast she gave it to. The boy is a puppet who recently had been cut free of his strings. On his journey, he learns what a sweet gift life really is. The show is called City of Frogs, and it opens tonight at the Forest Theater in Chapel Hill. Donovan Zimmerman and Jan Berger are founders of Paper Hand Puppet Intervention. Jan created and is directing the show this year, and they're both with us in the studio to talk about City of Frogs. Welcome back. Good to have you here.
Hi, Frank.
Thanks.
Tell us about this show. Tell us a little more about it.
Well, I've always been inspired by those kind of children's theater stories like Peter Pan, and this one... has some elements of Pinocchio in it that we're doing for the City of Frogs. And, you know, I'll go to watch a show, like a theater piece of Peter Pan, and I'll just, like, start bawling, and it affects me on this sort of deep level. So I wanted to get into that. What is the heart of those kinds of stories? Like, what does it mean to be alive? What does it mean to kind of cherish that sort of freedom that you have when you're a little kid, and, you know, want to hold on to that, like in the Peter Pan stories.
Right.
And so that's one of the reoccurring themes in the show. And I originally wanted to make a comic book, and because I went to comic school a couple of years ago. To make graphic novels, yeah.
Wow. So were you like, instead of paying attention, you were reading a geography book?
That's
and
right.
They came and slapped your hand?
That's right. Making puppets in my free time. But I wanted to make a comic book, but that you know, turns out to be a labor-intensive art as much as puppetry does. But I took all those stories that I was creating, stories that I was inspired by from Eastern Europe, like the Gollum, and stories of the Baba Yaga and Pinocchio and Faust and a lot of those types of tales, and wove them together into a more modern retelling of those stories.
You know, it would seem to me easier, Donovan, to have let Jan go ahead and draw them up and staple them into a book than to create those beautiful, masterful puppets that you make and try to represent these stories through puppetry.
It probably would have been easier. It was quite a labor this year, and we had five incredible interns who worked with us all summer, and we really turned up the heat, literally and figuratively, because our studio is not air conditioned in Saxapahal, so we definitely do some sweating together and really work hard to put this vision together. And we really just got behind Jan and tried to support the vision that he was putting out there. And he was just drawing all over everything. I mean, every surface in the studio is covered in scattered papers of Jan's drawings. And we had this big storyboard taped up to the wall. And we just spent some really good times and some sweaty times just building a lot of new puppets and masks.
We are famous for, of course, those larger-than-life puppets that sometimes take two and three and four people just to manage. Will we see those as well, and give us a sense of what we're going to see?
Yeah, well, the biggest one this year is I think it takes 10 people, is a giant river puppet that we built over a big mound of, we start with a big mound of trash and plastic and things, and we tape it together. And then we had enough clay processed to cover that in clay, sculpt a face. And then we have lots and lots of people come in and do big community work days all through the summer. And so we have layers and layers of paper mache going on, things like that. And then we had some folks sew together a really long body, 60 feet long, 50 something feet.
Yep.
And just figure out the dynamics of the rigging so that the spine can support the thing. Yep. And people just sort of wind it all around the stage. And it's quite a beautiful thing. I was really, really happy with how it turned out.
Well, that's the other thing that you do. In a lot of puppet shows, of course, there are puppets of things that we, you know, traditionally know are alive and we recognize as either human or animal. But the idea of giving life, turning a river into a puppet so that it can be animated, I think is a kind of a central tenet of your philosophy, that all of these things are part of life and we're a part of that.
Yeah, and we tried to play around with that a lot this year. So we have our main character is sort of a Bunraku style puppet with two puppeteers holding him. You can see the puppeteers the whole time on stage, but they're manipulating him, and he's the main character. He's singing, but then we have people singing for him. So it's trying to put life into this very inanimate guy and make him the star. We also have people wearing masks. We have tiny, small puppets in a traditional puppet stage this year, so we're actually going old school that way.
Wow.
And then we have pieces of cardboard that come, the body parts come together to form different creatures, and we're just trying to mix it up a lot. We're also venturing out into a bit of musical theater, so rather than writing just dialogue, I was trying to write some lyrics this year, and then I would just hand these scribbled things to the musicians, and and they came up with some really beautiful, fun pieces of music. I was really touched.
So they'll be singing City of Frogs the musical.
It has some musical elements. We can say that.
You're not going
to
call it
I tried
it
not to use the word musical. But,
okay. And it seems to me the theme this year is less overtly political than in other years. Am I right about that, would you say?
Perhaps less overtly political. We try and make all of our stories deeply matter to people. And so when I make art, I'm often drawn to political themes because I'm really caring a lot about what's happening in the world and wanting to make a difference. And so sometimes that informs my art. But we've found over the years that the way that people are sometimes touched the strongest is not by saying statistics and shouting slogans. It's by being able to feel. And theater, and particularly puppetry, is a great tool for that. There's a story of a few years ago we did a show and this family brought their grandma. The whole family went, like extended family. They brought their grandma and she didn't want to go. And she went to the show, and that show had a lot of stories of family tales. And she was so touched by the story that when they got home, she broke out these family albums that she had never shown to anyone before. And she was like talking about all these family stories. Supposedly, she stopped wanting to watch TV after that, and she changed her life or something like that.
The ever-subversive paper-hand puppet intervention. If we're not watching TV anymore, we're going to stop buying things. And if we stop buying things... Oh, wait. Go see the paper-hand puppet intervention. Yeah, it's not a bad idea. That's fascinating. And, of course, the theme this year, it seems to me, you've drawn from fairy tales that are the essential. They're beyond coming of age. They're people who are coming to themselves. They're becoming human in these stories, Peter Pan. Certainly Pinocchio, what it means to be, to grow into yourself and to become a human being.
And the Gollum story as well, which is a story of how a mud creature was created by a rabbi, and the word for truth was written on his forehead, and he comes to life to protect the people. But he starts to get a taste of life and the sweetness of music and the playing with children and et cetera. Those sorts of things become about what it means to be alive, like what's at the heart of it. And that's just really what we're trying to at least point a bunch of arrows to. I don't know if we found the answers, but we've definitely opened up a book of questions.
It's questions that we try and ask ourselves, and it's stuff that we're dealing with and hopefully will resonate for other people as well. My dad is getting older now, and he's having Alzheimer's, and I'm watching him changing. And for me, I'm sort of feeling faced with my own mortality and asking myself these questions. Well, what does it mean to have a life, and what do we do with the life that we're given? So that theme just keeps coming home in the story this year.
Yeah, well, that's when the political becomes ultimately personal, and those two things are really enmeshed. How have things changed for you over the years, from the start of this project of yours to now? Have you seen a change in the trajectory of your project?
Well, we've been adding layers and layers of complexity. We have an amazing woman, Laura, who works with us, and she has helped us become more organized than we ever were before, and things have gotten a lot more rich because of it. We have our friend Chris Carter, who is like our mad inventor, who is putting lights and things, attaching things with magnets, creating structures and stages.
Did a great job with the X-Files, by the way.
Yeah.
Not that. Okay, I'm sorry.
But we've gotten to such a level of complexity that we didn't really have before that I hope that it makes for a much more engaging show, but it also makes it hard. And we're trying a lot of things this year, and We're working very hard. I'm sending out news rewrites of the script every day to people. And
well, it's interesting that you would say that, because the complexity and the layers you're talking about really sound like they're the result of building a community. These are people who are coming to you wanting to be part of the project, and so it's not just all out of your imaginations. More and more people see the value in this and are contributing and becoming a part of Paperhand.
Yeah, we actually have people giving us their resume fairly often, and I'm really flattered by that, but I wish that I was in a position where I could be accepting them in some sort of real way, where I can be like offering jobs. We are paying people, and we have been for many, many years. And so, you know, there is a sort of creative class income generating artistic, you know, surge happening around what we're doing. And it's really just from people's energy, though, just coming in and really just wanting to contribute to the pulse of what's going on with the creativity that we're producing.
It's great stuff. I highly encourage everybody to go out and see it. Thanks so much for being on the program.
Thanks, Frank.
Donovan Zimmerman, Jan Berger, founders of Paperhand Puppet Intervention. Jan directed and created the show City of Frogs. This year opens tonight, 7 o'clock, every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday until September 10th. So tonight through September 10th at Forest Theater in Chapel Hill. Also going to be at the NC, the North Carolina Museum of Art in Raleigh, later in September. If you want to find out more information, go to paperhand.org for more. Just ahead, Zach Galifianakis and his campaign. On the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, please stay tuned.